Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. The Reverend Kevin Robson is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. The Pharisees were launching a cancel culture attack against Matthew and his tax-gathering colleagues. In their eyes, these hated taxmen were low-down, dirty, rotten scoundrels who had cut deals with Devil Caesar, enriching themselves by taking advantage of helpless fellow Jews. The Pharisees marked Matthew as a traitor to his lineaged people. Now, I suspect that Matthew didn't really give a hoot at all about what the Pharisees thought about him, or at least he put up a brave front. Matthew was too occupied, a busy man on his way to financial freedom, regularly worshiping at the altar of worldly mammon. But then come two little words spoken in power by Matthew's creator, "Follow me." And in an instant, everything changes. You and I ought not really wonder about that. We bear a striking resemblance to Matthew. All of us could be wearing t-shirts emblazoned with the words, "Was nowhere close to being good enough." Matthew unashamedly records his former occupation and unworthiness in the gospel that now bears his name. Faith, yours and Matthew's, holds tightly to the reality that God's word really does make things happen. A word like, "Let there be," or "Go to the land that I will show you," or "This is bread is my body, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, it is finished, their sins are forgiven, I am with you always." And here he says to Matthew, "Follow me." With the word like that, Jesus calls and unifies, keeps his promises, and restores. He does what he says, and what is said by him is done. This is authority that belongs alone to the Christ of God. To be made a disciple for life, endowed with his life, as it happened to Matthew, it all begins and ends with Jesus. Discipleship is constituted with Jesus' word. Discipleship is initiated at his call, as it is for Matthew, as it is for those other tax collectors and sin-sick transgressors reclining at the table of the Lord of all creation. So it is for you. Jesus appears on our human scene in the flesh, not merely to feast on food, but to rejoice over the return of sinners. Those who dine with him blissfully forget that the judge who longs to relieve them of their guilt in humility conceals the fact that he pours out his life, becomes their empty substitute on a cross in order to render to all the verdict of righteousness. This Son of God who bestows honor and dignity upon those who hold to him by baptism and the faith, for a time appointed, hides his lordship over the descendants of Adam and Eve. He who desires that the weak and orphaned be embraced in the limitless love of God the Heavenly Father, this one humbly divines his faith and holds it in divine majesty in his joyful reception of fatally flawed fellow human beings. Jesus isn't merely trying to convince or persuade grateful sinners called to such a feast. In speaking his word to you, he isn't then waiting to see how you might turn out. He has already miraculously transformed you. He called you to repent, and now he has freely forgiven and accepted you. From "follow me," he has established and strengthened the bond of fellowship and peace with you. And yet there is even more. By his word, Christ has overcome that puritanical separation and superiority assumed by the other, that Pharisee that lingers on in you too. Jesus plays no favorites. He seeks not the favor of any man. The distinctions and classifications that we hold on to so dearly, these Jesus has blessedly taken away. He includes, he calls all to repentance so that all might receive his mercy. You know, dinner parties are something that you usually go to affirm your social status against others. But fellowship at the table of Jesus means that right there and then, he is actively changing you, restoring your relationship with him, working in you that which is utterly beyond your own capacity and reach. Eternal life, an unending life of his perfection, his righteousness, where formerly there was only the certain prospect of sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. Here is his word, borne aloft on the cross, to every sinner firmly delivered, overflowing with blessing and grace. Dear people, I do not want only sacrifice. More importantly, I want mercy. Jesus brings forward his man, Hosea, chapter 6, where the prophet goes on to make the argument, in effect, you are to seek after the knowledge of God in his mercy rather than throw another burnt offering on the altar. To truly know God, O sinners, is not merely to understand the demands and rule of his law. It is to know in no uncertain terms the certainty of his mercy and forgiveness that constitutes your now favored status with him. And to have that certainty, we only need listen to Jesus. This is no trifling matter. To follow Jesus while bearing his mercy and forgiveness means leaving behind the priorities that the world holds so dear. It means that you let the dead bury their own dead. Put your hand to the plow and look straight ahead. Give up your obsession over what you will wear and where you will plan to lay your head. Have only Jesus. When he says, "Follow me," it is his invitation to the death of a sinner. It means, "Come and die with me that you would be raised." Take up your cross means, bring it with you because you're going to need it. Matthew may have been previously devoted to the sanctuary of his wealth, but in the face of Jesus' selfless love and concern that was without limit, Matthew tossed aside temporal security for the very thing that would stand unto the age of ages. So it is for you, dear saints, better to die with Jesus than to continue to be merely walking dead, better to be crucified with him rather than to live for self, better to no longer live for yourself, but all the more clearly to know that it is Christ by mercy who lives in you. Along with Matthew, you have been found in Jesus, who forgives every sin, heals the broken souls of men. Being found in Jesus, you have found the very God of very God, who has taken you into his eternal embrace and has you reclining with him at the feast that has no end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.